Well, this is interesting. We really are going to be looking at Ephesians, but we're going to start in Romans 10 tonight. This is amazing to me because, you know what we're ultimately after? We don't lose any more to cancer. We don't lose any more to anything. It's not the will of the Lord. We're after a Matthew 15 revival, the kind where they brought them all, put them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them all. It didn't matter what they had. So that's what we're pressing toward. Well, so he's had us in Ephesians, partly to learn about our authority, partly to learn about just a lot of things we've been learning for 8 months. And then tonight, I'm fixing to come down here, and it's so amazing. It's like, as we're learning now in Ephesians, the only way to understand it, he takes us all the way back to Faith 101. And he's doing it again tonight, because the only verse I could hear for tonight was one that everybody in here could quote, and it's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, that's, you say, my goodness, we're talking to prayer center people. We're talking to people that sat under Dave for 16 years maybe. You know, people that's prayed and understand. And you want me to come down and talk to them about Faith 101, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? And he took me all the way back to the 4th of July, 1980. And we, Sue and I had been going to a Bible study by Michael Muccio for about 6 months. Now, I had been raised in church. I had heard the gospel message my whole life, but obviously it hadn't impacted me. So we've been listening to Michael now for about 6 months, and conviction was on me. It was about 1 or 2 in the morning, and Sue was gone. I mean, this is common knowledge. I've said it so many times. I mean, this is just who we were, just so you'll know. We were not the same people that you know today. The night or the morning that this happened, Sue was still out with her girlfriends partying. In those days, there was a male strip club in town, kind of like Chippendales, you know. And she was out there with her girlfriends, and they were drinking and having a good old time and stuffing money in those guys' shorts and just, you know. And here I am, and I was just as bad. I just wasn't out that night. I mean, I lived for the party, you know. I mean, we made money so we could go party, you know. Come in on a Friday or a Saturday night after being out partying like that and watch my socks go down the toilet as I vomited them up, you know. And couldn't wait till next Friday night to go do it again. See, crazy. You just the flesh is crazy, I'm telling you. But anyway, that's who we were. And so here it is about 2 in the morning. I'm listening. I've been listening to some of those tapes of Michael's. I was listening to him. And he had been going right over how to get saved. Well, one of the verses was this one in Romans chapter 10. Now faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then he says, well, not, for example, he'd back up here, how does a person get saved? He'd back right up in that same chapter. And he, of course, he read the whole chapter, but let's just pick it up in verses 9 and 10. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I just went over it again and over it again, making sure that I understood what it was saying. And I just had a little interview with my heart, if you'll allow me. I was going, now, Gary, do you really believe that Jesus is who he said he is? Yeah. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he's the spotless Lamb. Well, do you believe that he died for your sins? I'm interviewing myself before I make the prayer. Yeah, I do. Now, how do I know all that? See, faith comes by hearing. Well, I've been hearing Michael. I've been hearing Michael preach to me the Word of God for about 6 months. Faith comes by hearing. Why did I believe it? Plus, I'd heard it growing up, but now he's reinforcing it. It hadn't changed. And I'm going, what, do you believe God raised him from the dead? And I went, yeah, I do believe that. And I don't know why I believe it, but I believe it. I believe that Jesus is alive. Well, are you willing to make him your Lord? And I go, well, I am, but I don't know much what that means. I didn't really know. How do you know what that means in the beginning, you know? I don't know what his calling was. I didn't know much, but so I remember praying a prayer, something like we all did, something like the sinner's prayer, and I bowed there by myself. Nobody was else in the room with me. And I said, Lord, according to your word here, I believe, Jesus, you are who you say you are. One thing I know for sure about me is I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell. I've been listening to Michael teach from your word how you died for me. I don't remember exactly everything I said, but this was the essence of it. I said, I confess my sins. Please forgive me. Wash me clean by the blood. And I remember saying these words right here. I said, it says right here that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord, whatever that means. I don't know exactly what that means, but I mean, I know you're the boss. I want you to have the lordship of my life. And I do believe in my heart that you've been raised from the dead. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Save me. Something like that. Boy, I was hoping for a beam of light to come down from heaven and shine in that living room. And I wanted the goosebumps to be about an inch thick on my arms. And I wanted to feel the brush of an angel's wing across my cheek, you know. But I got to tell you, it was the deadest, driest experience of my life. There was no emotion. There was no crying. There was nothing. And immediately I heard this thought, immediately in my head, I told you sinned too much. I told you it's too late for you. You rejected him when you was young. Now it's too late and you're not saved. But Michael, see, faith comes by hearing. Now, we've got a reason for this now. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And he had already warned me how to fight the good fight of faith. He says, you can only fight the enemy with the Word of God. That's the only thing you have. He says, it doesn't matter what you feel, it doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what you hear, faith believes what God says. You've got to go back to what God said. So I went, I had that thought, and I knew it was the devil, because I'd been taught. And I said, no, that's a lie. It says right here, I said, can you read? Like I was talking to somebody in the room. It says right here that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. I believe Jesus is raised from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, whatever that means. And according to your word, I'm saved. And that voice came again, something like, it's too late for you. I just kept hearing that. So this battle starts going on. Well, I eventually go to sleep. I woke up the next morning. I mean, it's like the devil was sitting on my bed waiting for me to wake up. I opened my eyes, and the first thought, it's too late for you. You're not saved. And besides that, you got a headache. And I did. My head was just pounding, you know. And here we go again. I remembered what Michael said. I got my Bible out. All that day, it was the same war. No, now look right here. It says right. So what's happening? I'm already fighting the good fight of faith. At this point, I'm contending for my very salvation. The enemy is trying to move me off based on what? How I feel? Memories? Everything but the Word of God. See? But Michael had taught me. Thank God, faith comes by hearing. And in this battle, I knew what to do. See, we're talking about put on the whole armor of God that you may be able... Well, that warfare really began for me at the salvation level. And I had to fight that all that day, all the next day. And it wasn't until the third morning. And I'm not saying... I'm just telling you what happened to me. Now, the third morning, thank God... I mean, if the feelings had never come, I would have been just as saved as I was that first moment. But I am thankful that the feelings did come. That third morning, even the devil couldn't convince me. I mean, I woke up and there was a romance going on between me and Jesus. I mean, the sky was bluer, the grass was greener. I didn't think when I walked my feet quite touched the ground, you know. I was floating through. I had to drive across the Arkansas River, and I thought, that's the prettiest river, and I knew right then I had to be saved, you know, because that's an ugly old river, you know. It's not like those up in Pennsylvania and other places where I've been. But see, the fight of faith, fight the good fight of faith, it started for me. Right there. I had to fight for 3 days, or actually, I guess 2 days and 3 nights, even for my own salvation, and win that fight with the Word of God. Now, there's been times since then he's tried to convince me again I'm not saved. But I know what to do. Now, I think the reason he's doing this, I kept hearing this something like, you're going to have to make, now he's talking to all of us, you're going to have to make an inventory of what you do believe and what you don't believe. And he says, I'm not talking about what you know. I'm talking about what you believe. And who I first thought of was Peter. Because, and I'm not really totally prepared to teach some things on this yet, so we're weighing in the balance what's okay with the Lord and whatnot. But I'm thinking about Peter in chapter 3 of the book of Acts. After the Lord has risen, Peter saved. They've already had their upper room experience. They're baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. They're going to prayer. And going by the gate, beautiful. And there's that beggar, the man with a birth defect, born lame from his mother's womb, never walked ever. So this is a serious case, birth defect. We can relate with birth defect, okay? Now, here's what does Peter believe? Let's go ahead and look at it. It's Acts chapter 3. And okay, I'll go ahead and go this far. You're going to have to be careful. We're all going to have to be careful of well-intentioned human scholarship with nice ideas that on the surface make sense, but they don't always line up with Scripture. How many, and the thing of it is, they're always based on some truth. How many of you think it's a good idea to have an intimate relationship with the Lord? I do too. How many of you think that Jesus had a good, intimate, very, very intimate relationship with the Father? I do too. And I know there were times when Jesus would steal away and spend the whole night in prayer and worship. And I'm for that. I'm all for that. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that somebody sent me a nice article. Boy, on the surface, I just jumped on it. I thought, man, this is really, really might be a key, you know, because they were saying the real key to walking in authority is that fellowship. And what they mean by that is hours upon hours upon hours spent in worship and fellowship. And see, that's close to what, you know, we teach. We recommend all that prayer and the word and fasting and worship. We recommend all that. But he was like, that's the key. You know, everyone's always looking for what is it finally? That's the key. And I was kind of going along with it, but thank God I've been taught faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not human reasonings. Okay? So let's look at the actual incident here. In fact, Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he that set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now notice Peter's reaction here. And before I read this, I want you to back up. Verse 6. This is a key. Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Such as I have. Now here in a little bit, we're going to find out what he meant by that. Such as I have, give I unto thee. Alright? So when Peter saw it, verse 12, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Boy, he's being bold about it, isn't he? Now here it is. What did Peter have? His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now let's let faith come by hearing. What did Peter say? He says, I've been with the Lord all night. I'm not saying he wasn't. But Peter didn't fall back on that and say, I've been in fellowship with the Lord. I've been to the Holy of Holies. I've been, what he told me, the Lamb's Room of Fellowship. And he told me that when we went by the gate today, beautiful, that this I should do this. Yet I think if that's what was causing it, that information would be here for us. See, how did Peter have faith? We have the record of what Jesus told him. All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go, and make disciples. That doesn't mean just get... See, the church has tried to make converts. I'm all for making converts. But we're supposed to make disciples, teaching them everything that I've taught you. Well, he taught them how to open blind eyes, how to heal the sick and raise the dead. He didn't just teach them words. He taught them how to do this. And he says, in my name, I want you to go in my name. Peter was there the day that Jesus said, now, those that believe on me, even though I'm going to go be with the Father, Peter and the rest of you, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. These are the things that Peter hath. He knew that his name, the name of Jesus... Yes, sir. Peter was there the day that the centurion demonstrated his faith. And that centurion understood authority. He had 100 men, a centurion, 100 men under him. And boy, when he spoke, did they have a choice? I mean, if he said, take your sword, go right over there, fight that guy till one of you dies. And that guy's 10 times bigger, you know, a huge guy. You go over there, fight till you die. I mean, he understood that he had life and death authority over those men. He understood Jesus had life and death authority over disease. Absolute authority over disease. Peter was there that day. Peter saw it. He knew that. And he knew what Jesus said about that centurion. I've not found faith like this anywhere else in Israel. This guy knows that all I have to do is speak. And I have dominion. I have authority over that disease. And so Jesus did. And Peter watched all that, see. Now later on the Great Commission, Jesus saying, now the works that you've seen me do, Peter, the works that in my name, based on my authority, you're going to do the same thing. So Jesus, he ascends to the heavens. He's not intending for his ministry to be ended. He's intending for his ministry to be continued through his body, through his disciples. Now somebody's going, that's only going to happen one way though. They're going to have to believe it. Peter believed it. I believe Peter had a good relationship with the Lord. I don't know how much time Peter spent in worship. We're not told how much time Peter spent in prayer. But we are told this, Peter understood what he had. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now we've all been being taught out of the book of Ephesians we're in our 8th month. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment. I think this is what he's getting at. It's time to convert knowledge into faith now. See, he's not asking me what I know. See, a lot of people, the devils know that there's one God and they tremble. Does that keep them out of hell? Does that knowledge? No, they know there's only one God. It says they tremble at that knowledge. They're not saved. Knowledge has to be converted into faith. Knowledge acted upon is faith. See? So when we've been... Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by how? Do you know there's nothing in your natural life experience that will give you a clue that God has given you authority over disease? In fact, in your natural life experience, it'll tell you only doctors have some kind of authority, and you better do what they say. And I'm not against doctors. I'm like what Dave says one time, thank God for aspirin and all the medicine. Hopefully it'll keep alive long enough till you get some faith. You know? Thank God for that. I take the aspirin. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, you know. But we're supposed to have real dominion. But now the point is this. In the natural arena, there's nothing on this earth. In fact, educated, the more educated they are normally, the more they think you're an idiot for thinking you can speak, for doing the very thing that Jesus did. Speak, and the Holy Spirit do. See, it's the Holy Spirit that enforces those words. And the world thinks you're crazy to think you can speak to cancer and it'll die. But yet, why do we think that? There's nothing in the natural realm that would give you any evidence that that is true. You're only going to find out that from God's Word. See, in the natural, if y'all just followed me around for a week, I'm just, you know, I do my best, like, well, most of the time. Can't lie in church. I do my best a lot. But, you know, if you followed me around, you know, I mean, I make mistakes. I'm just Gary, you know. And so my tendency is to think, well, I'm just me. That's just who I am. And with just the natural evidence like that, we're never going to walk in any power. See, you got to have God's Word to find this out. This right here. Chapter 1, we'll just pick it up in verse 20. We don't have so much of a problem with this, knowing that it's according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. I don't really have a problem seeing Christ seated there, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. That's enough for now. I don't really have a problem seeing that. But as long as I just see that, I think, boy, I wish He was here so He could speak to that disease. I wish He was here. Man, that'd be great. Jesus, can you walk through the wall and speak to my disease? That's what we'd like, see. But the part you'll never get, in fact, you wouldn't even know that without God's Word. You wouldn't even know that. But come on down here. Verse 4 of chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You mean God has seated us in that same place of authority? So how does Jesus speak on the earth today? Through His body. He doesn't have any lips on planet earth but those that are on His body. Now faith comes by hearing. See, this is knowledge. We've all been hearing this for 6 months. Now He's going, now what do you believe? What do you believe about that? And He's reminding me of that early days of the warfare I had to go through where just because I confessed it once, did that mean the devil left me alone? No, he's trying to, for 3 days He argued with me. Well, just because you've heard it. And then, I don't know if you've ever tried it. I've tried it here in the last little bit. Pray for them, do everything you know to do, and they still die. Well, you got 2 ways to go there. The devils are telling the truth and God's Word's a lie. Or God's Word is truth and the devil's a lie. And I'm somewhere in the process of believing. I'm going to keep on working on me until I do believe. See, what else can you do? But we're going to have to start taking inventory. Like, I think he's saying something like this. Marvinus and I, we talk. You know, she's got a miracle. I believe the miracle is going to start in her family. I don't see any reason why not. That'd be a good one. Be a nice start. But Marvinus is a real human. I like people that are real. Okay? She doesn't put on any airs and but see, Marvinus, you and I are both, we're going to have to look at this. And we're going to look at this and go, now, where am I seated? Now, see, I don't have any problem really seeing him seated there. But am I really seated there? What does it say? See, this is what I had to do with the devil. I had to go back. Now, what does it say? Because that devil say, you're not saved. What was he basing that on? Circumstances, feelings, what I saw, how I felt. Everything but the Word of God. And I had nothing, here we go again, I had no evidence except His Word. Here we go again. Like that time I was smoking, and every time I'd try and quit, my body would just give me the dickens, you know. And I'd say, God, do you understand I have no evidence I'm free except Your Word? Yeah, that's all the evidence you need. But He's telling us that again. God, do you understand? I don't have any evidence that I have authority over disease except your word. But what did Peter have? I mean, Jesus is gone. He had to believe it. Without Jesus being physically there, such as I have. See, Peter somehow had come to the place where he had something. He knew he had it. See, I got the car keys to my beautiful town car out there right now. That's a good town car. And I know that I have it. I got the keys right here. I can feel them. There they are. You go out there and use those keys, that car's going to work. It'll take you anywhere you want to go. We've got to come to the place we know we've got authority in our pocket. Will you say, let me say it that way? Authority in our pocket, such as I have. I have the name of Jesus. And I got something more than that. I got faith in that name. And when I speak, honey, you're going to walk out of that wheelchair. When I speak, honey, your brain is going to come to full maturity. You're going to be able to think and talk and learn. When I speak, because the Holy Spirit's going to do. Now, we're going to have to get past the orbital gravity of religion. We're going to have to break out of orbit somehow to believe that. See? Knowledge is not going to get it done. Head knowledge I'm talking about. The devils know that there's one God and tremble. Big deal. Well, the ability to give dissertations. So what? Do you have something? Do you have something? 3 days I had to fight to have salvation. And even then he didn't. I think back over the last 25, how long has it been? 1980? We're heading on 30 years now. 30 years? Well, you think he hadn't circled back around to try me again, especially when I did something especially stupid? About that. Better than wicked. You know? You're not even saved. Here we go again. It says right here, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Yeah, but you've sinned since you got saved. Well, then I had to find out about 1 John 1, 9. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we're going to have to come to the place where we have something and know that we have it. I don't know any other place besides the message of this church that can take a human being that's programmed one way. And just because you want to spend time with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, sit. You can have a face-to-face encounter, if you'll allow me. Sit down in His presence and He'll take you just like you are. And through this simple grace, the simple gift He's given us of being able to pray in other tongues, where He took the understanding away from your intellect so you don't even have to be smart. He says, just sit here, child, and let me change you. Let me purge. Let me bring to the surface the things that's got to go. Let me change even how you think. I don't know any place else. Thank God for the day we all stumbled into here. But now He's calling. If I'm hearing correctly, Christine and I go back a long ways. We've been way... See, raise your hand, Christine. Most of them don't even know you. Would y'all believe that little gal there used to go up and down the Amazon River, a nurse's technician type of person who would give inoculations, she would do medical things for the natives and the villages there. And then in the course of that, she would preach the gospel to them and get them saved. I asked her today, where's the book? I would love to read about some of the adventures, wouldn't you? Would you? We go back a long way. See, she had her day like we all had our day where we first heard, quote, the message. Probably through Dave. And in those early days, you remember how hungry you were? There's Becky sitting over there. Where was it? Virginia? Where? Virginia. Becky was I thought Becky was crazy for a long time. And what I mean by that, she lived in Virginia. And she would, you know, we sent free cassette tapes. This was back in the early days of sending out the cassette tapes. And it plainly said, 4 tapes a month. you know, we'll send you four tapes. Didn't it plainly say that? Yeah. We'd send her four tapes, and 3 days later, we'd get a request back for four more. You know? And she'd actually, in the beginning, she'd say, well, send me these 300 right here. You know? No, oh, four at a time. You know? And my daughter said, what about this Becky person? What if, you know, she wants them every, just, I said, well, send them. If she's that hungry, send them. Becky, how many times you been to India now?
I've been to two other.
She not only moved halfway across. See, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Man, she started hearing this and latching on to the message and start doing the message. Now, God has moved her how many years ago now to the prayer center? Several years ago.
5 years ago.
Brought her here. And she's been to India to preach the gospel and two other countries in 5 years? My goodness! I'm glad we sent her the tapes now. How much did we charge you, honey?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing, see? Praise God forever. Amen. Multiply that by how many around the world?
Amen.
How many? But what I'm sensing in my spirit, you know how we were all on fire? And man, we're going to pray the house down. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. And now we... For benefit of the tape, I'm holding my fingers about an inch apart. Compared to how I prayed in those early days. Yeah, it's confession time. Compared to 10-hour stretches. And before a conference at the ugly building, 6 in the morning till 9 at night. For a week or two before the conference. Well, you justify it by all kinds of things. The reason I was using Christine, ministry gets very busy. And it's, who was it the other day said, if you're coasting, was that you? Somebody said after this, the one thing about it, if you come to the place where you're coasting, if you're coasting, you're eventually going to come to a stop.
Wow.
People, it might be time to prime the pump again. Now we got these two here, just got baptized in the Holy Ghost this last week. Praise God, hallelujah, got their prayer language. See, they're at the very beginning, and I can feel the hunger. I remember those, like those thrilling days of yesteryear, you know, and they're going to be praying the house down, you know. But I think what's happening now, God is going, I've given you this knowledge. My word has not changed, but I've been imparting this knowledge to you. I've been imparting this knowledge to you this whole time. But now it's time for knowledge to be converted to faith. That's going to require the act of the Holy Ghost, or at least it's going to greatly speed things up. If we can allow the Holy Ghost to take that knowledge now, let Him become that digestive system that extracts, you know, just like He taught me one time, He says the Holy Ghost is very much like our own digestive system. See, if we didn't have a digestive system, you could eat a banana, eat it, and it'd go down into your stomach, but it'd just lay there. But in a banana is all kinds of good stuff. Iron and niacin and potassium and all kinds of things that's good for your body. But having a stomach is okay. That's like the cow eating the food, all right? But you've got to have a digestive system that is able to extract the niacin and the potassium and all of that stuff out of there and distribute it throughout your body so that it's functional for you. I think what he's saying now is like, okay, we've been eating. We've got the banana. We've got Ephesians in our stomach, if you'll allow me. We've got word in there that we didn't have 8 months ago. Now he's saying, I need to let the Holy Spirit start going in there now and extracting the truth and extracting all the nutrients out of that word and distribute it throughout you so that you become what you eat.
Right.
Hallelujah. Is that good stuff or what? So it's time to take it. What do we believe? See? What do you really believe? Do you have something? Let's just take this one truth. You got 5 minutes here. In the same way that I had to fight that devil, I am saved. No, you're not. Do you feel saved? No. Got a headache? Yes. You have all those memories that you used to have? Yes. Feel guilty? Yes. I mean, if I'd have went by any of that, I'd have had to agree with him. Thank God Michael taught me how faith comes and how to fight the fight of faith. I'd have to keep going back. It says right here, God's word says. If I believe in my heart, confess with my mouth, in the same way that I had to contend for that truth until I won, now verse 5 of Ephesians 2. Do you really believe? It says right there, He hath quickened us together with Christ. Let's take some of the knowledge from Ephesians just for a moment. Look up here at me. Just stuff we've learned. Who are you? Sinner or saint? Weak. Not from her so much, but who are you?
Saint.
Okay. All right. Are you a Gentile or a Jew?
Neither
one. See, good. Good answer. Neither one. Are you descended from Adam?
No.
But see, there's hesitation. You're going, now, what did he say? And that's okay. We're in the faith process, see? We're in the digesting process. But we've got to, really, who are you? See, somebody again approached me today about the law. They still don't understand it. They're going, well, how can, they're trying to work the law into our species. And I keep going. I said, God only had one answer for that. He had to kill the whole human race. The whole human race died in Christ. I don't like the word race. The whole species. Including the ones he gave the law to, they all died in Christ. That world ended. The only people from his point of view that are alive are the ones that's been born from the dead. And he hasn't given us a written law. He gave us a nature that has his law in it. Paul writes, he says, to live love, that is the fulfilling of the law. See, to love your neighbor, to really love him. If you live the love walk, you'll fulfill the law. You won't steal from them. You won't lie to them. You won't do bad to them. All right, so now, let's one more here. Let's fight the fight. Here comes the devil. You don't have any authority. Okay, your daughter's going to be the way she's going to be, and there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. See, heard that one, haven't you? See, he's told me as a minister, you cloud without water. You think he doesn't talk to me? I'm getting some nods from some other ministers here. You cloud without water. Go over there and pray and nothing happens. And I'm going, I'm not a cloud without water. I remember this kind of fight. I've been through this before. He's saying, you don't have any authority. Victoria is not going to change. And I'm going, she is going to change. I have something. You know, here we go. The battle's on. He's going to do his best to make you believe you don't have it. And if you're going to go by what we've seen to this point, if we're going to go by how many prayer lines has that girl been in, I mean, it's a wonder she got any hair on her head. You know, that girl's been in, I'm talking about Victoria, her daughter. How many prayer lines and all. It's like me, see, when I was trying to get free from the cigarettes. I'm not kidding. Kenneth Hagin prayed for me. Kenneth Copeland prayed for me. Marilyn Hickey prayed for me. On and on and on. They always stomped on lighters and everything, you know. You had to buy new ones on the way home. See, and I still had to fight the good fight of faith until I won. Well, all he's saying now is, what do you believe? And why do you believe it? Why did Peter, was he so bold to say, I've got something for you? What was that based on? What Jesus had said, the Word of God, what God had said to him, and you couldn't dissuade him from it, boy. It's that name. He says, I have something. I have that name through faith in that name. When I speak, he knew he didn't have power to raise that crippled man. He knew that it had to be the Holy Ghost that enforced that dominion that he had, but he had to know he had it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. To be continued. But we're coming now to a time of converting knowledge to faith. Converting knowledge to faith. This town's about to find a people that has something. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. To be continued. Hallelujah. It's good stuff. Praise God forever. Okay. I can't disobey him, you know. Most of y'all know that I had a terrible back and hip problem about 3 years ago, I guess now. And it was just getting worse all the time, and my mouth was just agreeing with that boy. It was bad. I mean, Christine wasn't here yet, and at that time it got so bad. I mean, I was walking like this, you know, and a couple of services I couldn't even stand to do it. I had to sit. Yeah, you know, it's not God's best for you to sit in a chair to teach faith, but I figure it's better than not teaching it at all. But my wife got me turned around. She, you know, I needed somebody to give me a firm word. And she said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and steal the whole rest of your ministry. Now I'm leading up to something here. Well, here I go. You know, at first it made me mad. And then I got to thinking, well, she's absolutely right. I'm just saying what is. I'm calling what is, you know. So I had to change and I started confession. Did it get better? No, it got worse. It got worse. And when you got a ship, you know, when you change a big ship with the tongue, it's like a rudder. But you got a big ship like the Queen Mary going in a certain direction. Honey, you can change that rudder. You don't change that ship on a dime. It takes a while. And it actually got worse before it started coming back. Well, long story short, the reason I'm saying that is this. Now, I did everything in the natural, too. I was, as I would pray, and the main thing I did was start making my positive confession. I mean, right in the midst of all the circumstances, calling those things that be not as though they were, I started talking to my back, talking to my hip, quoting the scriptures, you know, Lord, you bless my bread, you bless my water, you take sickness away from the midst of me. By His stripes I was healed. Back, I'm talking to you. You be strong and straight. Hips, I'm telling you, pain, you leave my hips in Jesus' name. I will preach in Korea again, which I have. I will do this. But I remember it got worse. And one day, I can remember it. I'm telling you, there is such a thing as a breakthrough. Sue can tell you if to do, and I wouldn't let myself off from doing the stuff a husband's supposed to do, you know, like rake leaves. You know how I did it? Had a plastic chair, you know, those little plastic outside chairs. I'd sit in it, take my rake, rake the leaves, get them in a pile, put them in the back, because I couldn't stand up. I couldn't bend over to do it, but I could do it. Now, I'd pick my chair up, move it over, sit down, do the same thing again. Now, Rich and Deborah came and helped me one season, you know, but still yet, you got to do what you got to do. But I remember the day. Now, here's the point, and I was thinking of you when I did this. See, one day I was going out, I was doing something. I know right where I was. I was walking out the back door of my garage, and I stepped down on the patio, and it dawned on me in my lightning quick mind. You know, and y'all can't see me, those who are listening. I'm twisting my back and I'm moving, which before I could not have done that. And I mean, now it was probably getting, I know it was getting some better. But I mean, all of a sudden one day there was a breakthrough, honey. I'm reminded of the day when that, after confessing the word on finances many years before, and I fought that war. Here we go again, converting knowledge to faith. And one day, finally, all those scriptures became rhema to me. Now, in the natural, our financial circumstances had not changed. But Gary had changed. And I walked through the door that day, and that stack of bills was there. I said, I don't live there anymore. And honey, since then, we have financed the preaching of this gospel around the world and sent tens of thousands of cassette tapes for free. And here the devil said I couldn't even pay my bills. I'm telling you, there's a breakthrough coming one of these days. And just like there, I mean, I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know that the next step would be pain-free. You never know when Victoria's going to say, hi, Mama. Yeah, Lordy. Who knows, see? Our job is to fight the good fight. But there's a breakthrough coming. Say, well, the last 12 people I prayed for, they all died. Honey, keep praying. Keep confessing. Keep telling the devil what the Word says. Keep converting knowledge to faith. Honey, one of these days, you're going to pray in the name, such as I have, give I thee. Get up off of that bed, and they're going to flat get up off the bed. And the cancer will be gone, too. See, once that happens, and it's hard for the devil to get you to go back. See, once you've had that breakthrough, and you've tasted, you know, how do you get them back down on the farm now? You know, once you've tasted the little glory of God, it's hard to go back into that unbelief again. Hallelujah. All right. See, I never knew when that morning was going to come. After about 2 days fighting with the devil, even to believe I was saved, I didn't know if the feelings were ever going to come. And if they hadn't have come, I guess I'd still be fighting, hopefully. But see, they did come. There was a breakthrough. I didn't know that next morning was going to be it. Now, I was just as saved the first day. But he was trying to steal it. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. He's trying to steal it. See? But faith comes by hearing. And hearing, and hearing, I don't care if you've got to read it 10 times in an hour to keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. But honey, there's a breakthrough coming. and you're going to, and you don't know when it's going to be. And I woke up that morning, glory to God, even I knew I was saved. Took that step off the back porch, whoa, even I knew my back was, I was going to be okay. You know, I knew I was going to be okay from that point on. The day our finances begin to change. We've never hit that bottom roller coaster again. Now we've, anyway, there's been some more fights since then. There's been some more fights. But we've done what God told us to do, and that's the main thing. We've sent His Word for free around this world and still doing it. Last week alone, let's see, I sent out roughly 5,000, we sent out roughly 5,000 messages last week. Free around the world. 5,000. Praise God. Free and postage paid. Thank you very much. And we put on there, duplication is encouraged. You know? Hallelujah. You know? Alright. Your breakthrough's coming. Revival is coming. One of these days, I'm telling you, it's going to be like that morning I woke up and the sky was bluer, the grass was greener. Honey, the day is going to come when wheelchair after wheelchair after wheelchair, they're going to get up. Blind is going to see. Deaf is going to hear. Lame is going to walk. And honey, from that point on, you'll be wishing you had those, some of these empty seats. Not really. Hallelujah. We'd be hoping for a little cot in the back where you can get an hour of sleep before you're praying again. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to some of that.